up at 5:45 every morning. I hope you are all right. Nothing else matters if you are only that. Best of love. London, darkest London, sends its love too, and wishes, oh, so very much, that it may see you soon again. First London General Hospital, Camberwell, 20th of October, 1915. Dear Roland, there are 60 beds in my ward. All are surgical cases, mostly very bad. Oh, I don't want you to get wounded now. I couldn't bear to think of you with one of these ghastly injuries such as I have to see more or less all the time. The men, being quite well apart from their wounds, really makes it all worse because they are so conscious of the agony of having the wound dressed. I don't mind the general butcher shop appearance or holes in various parts of people that you could put your fist into half so much as having to hold a head or a leg for the sister to dress it while the man moans and tries to squirm about. The orderlies won't do one or two of the dressings I have to help with, or rather the sisters won't have them, because they seem to be made sick so easily. And one of them, who was holding a basin the other night, fainted rather on top of the patient.
Dear Vera, we seem to be still no nearer getting out. 12 people from the bottom of the list went to the Dardanelles and another 3 to France last week. Being at the top of the list seems to mean nothing. I think the War Office must be mad. I went home last weekend, where the fast-fading remnants of my cold caused Father the utmost disturbance. I really think he is too ridiculous for words. They're leaving the Buxton house about December the 12th and going to the Grand Brighton over Christmas, and then going into rooms somewhere in that awful place, I suppose. Your loving Edward.
Dear Roland, don't get too absorbed in your little world over there, even if it makes things easier. It is my great object not to be absorbed in mine. Sometimes quite small things make me stop short all of a sudden, and I feel a fierce desire to cry in the middle of whatever it is I am doing. I felt like it when a man asked me to wash him tonight, and then told me I reminded him so much of a sister of his, only she was fair. It is always some absurd little thing like that.
Occasionally I wonder if the person I am writing to is really there. Oh, he has certainly not shown himself very much lately, has he? It seems so long since I wrote to you last. I have never yet addressed a letter to Camberwell, in fact. I can scarcely realise that you are there. There in a world of long wards and silent-footed nurses. Clean smells. And an appalling whiteness in everything. I wonder if your metamorphosis has been as complete as my own. I feel a barbarian. A wild man of the woods, stiff, narrowed, practical. Not at all the kind of person who would be associated with prizes on speech day or poetry or dilettante classicism. Have been very busy lately as adjutant during the absence of the latter. It is late and I'm very sleepy. We go back into the trenches tomorrow.
Of course, you don't really deserve a letter. Sometimes, when after a particularly grey and monotonous day, I wish for a letter from you to cheer me up and don't get it, I feel almost angry, though more with life in general than with you. With you, I can never be quite angry. For the more chill and depressed I feel myself in these dreary November days, the more sorry I feel for you beginning to face the acute misery of the winter after the already long strain of these many months. I wonder how much really all you have seen and done has changed you. Personally, I feel I shall never be the same person again, and wonder if, when the war does end, I shall have forgotten how to laugh. The other day, I did involuntarily laugh at something, and it felt quite strange. One day last week, I came away from a really terrible amputation dressing I had been assisting at, with my hands covered with blood, and my mind full of a passionate fury at the wickedness of